You're smart. Your TV is smart. That's why you cut the cord. But you need one more thing.
Alaska's News Source. Watch live or when it's convenient for you, here's how.
Just search Alaska's News Source on Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire, or Android TV. Install and enjoy.
It's completely free and has everything you need in one spot.
Breaking news.
Statewide weather. In-depth investigations.
Start streaming Alaska's News Source live today.
As far as we need to until the parties understand that we're not going anywhere.
Today on the Morning Edition, the Anchorage Assembly making moves on the Eklutna Hydroelectric Project, why some see it as a power grab and not a tool to protect people and wildlife that need the river.
This hadn't gone on so long, I'd still have my son. My sons would still have their brother, and we wouldn't be sitting here.
An exclusive interview with the family of the man who tried to blow the whistle on safety concerns at Boeing. Why the family claims the company chose not to listen, and later.
And lots of people looked in here and about everybody says, wow.
A passion for pets that is decades in the making. How one man says his hobby is really all about making people smile as the Morning Edition starts now. Good morning, everyone, on your Thursday. Wow, that's a lot of Pez.
That's a lot of, I actually forgot about Pez. I loved Pez as a kid.
Just like a fun little dispenser. My daughter still has some, but decades in the making, that's quite a lot.
Brings back memories. I was really one of those who I enjoyed the Pez dispensers, but I just got to where I just opened the candy and ate it. It got challenging.
It's fun to open the head.
It is. And then you just end up breaking them off and you're like,
yeah,
buy another one.
Too much work.
Well, waking up this morning, we're seeing some lingering areas of activity across South Central. We're seeing really the only sparse shower coverage right over the most populated city in the state. Elsewhere across South Central, we're actually sitting on the drier side with a return to some sunshine expected throughout the afternoon hours across South Central. Of course, this morning, we do have those mostly cloudy to overcast skies with temperatures holding near freezing as we start off the day. You can see winds out of the south at 7 miles per hour, making it feel more like 27 degrees outside. So somewhat cooler conditions have made a return to South Central. We've got 25 in Eureka with some light snow, 29 in Kenai. Clearer skies already making a return to Seward, Valdez, and Cordova, where we're seeing those temperatures sitting near or below freezing. And then you can see for inland areas of South Central, from the Anchorage Bowl through at least southwestern parts of the Susitna Valley, this is where we're really seeing the only cluster of some showers that's occurring in the form of some drizzle activity and some flurries that are occurring this morning. So as you get out on the roadways, those will really be the only impacts that you're going to deal with for the first part of the morning. This is going to be a very quick moving system. We're not expecting to see this hang around much longer across the region. In fact, as we head through about 8 to 10 a.m., we are going to see that drier weather take hold across a large portion of South Central. And so we've got those overcast skies this morning. That is what's bringing us those light rain showers. Notice we'll hold on to those mostly cloudy to overcast skies through early afternoon. And then as we head through the rest of the day, after about 1 to 2 p.m., we're going to see those partly cloudy to partly sunny skies staying with us. So this afternoon is going to be a beautiful day to get outdoors, maybe the first part of Friday as well, but those clouds will quickly increase across South Central, leading to the return to widespread rain. As we welcome in the weekend, we're also watching for the potential for some cooler conditions as we welcome in next week. So outside of that flurry and drizzle activity this morning, you can see we dry out into the afternoon hours, those temperatures warming into the upper 30s. I'll have more details on that in that 7-day forecast coming up.
As you wake up, new information from the Anchorage Assembly taking what it believes is a step forward in the battle over the Eklutna Hydroelectric Project in a special meeting. After extensive debate, the Assembly passed an ordinance with a vote of 9-3, ensuring it continues to have a say on municipal resources and funding that could potentially go into the project. Lexi Alverton has details in this morning's top story.
With the passage of the ordinance on Wednesday comes a change in municipal code as the Assembly aims to ensure their part in the 1991 Fish and Wildlife Agreement regarding the Eklutna Hydroelectric Project and review for parts that may need approval. Assembly Vice Chair Meg Zalatel says she believes that through the passage of the ordinance, the Assembly is ensuring it has a role in the project, in part protecting municipal taxpayers.
We're the policymakers for the municipality, and we want to protect the financial
the financial picture of the municipality and don't want other entities to be able to obligate us.
Mayor Bronson's chief of staff, Mario Byrd, disagreed with the ordinance, saying it would be an encroachment on the executive branch.
We see this as the latest in a series of encroachments upon the executive authority, and that's why the administration can't support it.
A brief public hearing before the vote saw testimony for and against the passing of the ordinance. Rick Whitbeck, the Alaska State Director for Power the Future, was against the code changes and sided with the utilities.
Stop putting 100 people in Clutha above the 275,000 other municipality residents. Stop interjecting yourself in a process that you have no standing in.
On the other hand, Dustin Laura, a tribal council member with the native village of Aklutna, believes the utility companies should mitigate what he says is the damage dams have already done and do what he says is right.
It was diverted 94 years ago, and there was no compensation given in regard to people that decided down there.
Assembly Chair Chris Constant says he will continue to fight for a solution for all parties involved.
We're going to fight as far as we need to until the parties understand that we're not going anywhere and we're willing to work with them to achieve this outcome.
The Assembly also passed a resolution Wednesday authorizing a subpoena to get a bidding term sheet, a confidential document from the utilities involved in the agreement to see if the claims are truly confidential, whether or not the Assembly body is bound by them, and whether or not they can be disclosed. Lexi Overton, Alaska's news source.
The Assembly wants to see the binding term sheet from the utilities before a final program is submitted to the governor in April.
Neither representatives from Chugach Electric nor Matanuska Electric attended the meeting. The site of the proposed National Archives building next to Cuddy Park is land most of us associate with a homeless camp.
Now, the city's real estate director says the city of Anchorage might sell it. When asked if Cuddy Park itself was for sale, the real estate department for the city said no. But the land beside it at East 40th Avenue and Denali Street is another story.
Some Anchorage Assembly members say they've been given very little information about the zoning change, but they agree they want something productive to happen here. The issue is scheduled for an April Assembly meeting.
Homelessness is one of the main issues dominating the April 2nd election. Our check of early ballots cast with city workers has them saying by this morning they expect about 30,000 ballots to arrive.
Lauren Maxwell shows us what steps election leaders say are being taken to make sure your ballot is secure and that every vote counts.
One of the first stops for ballots at the election center is the sorter.
Essentially what's happening is that this machine on first pass is marking the voter off on the voter registry as has voted, and it's also taking a picture of the signature that's on the ballot return envelope.
The machine records the barcode unique to each voter located on the back of the envelope to make sure someone isn't voting twice. Sorted ballots are stored here.
It's a locked cage.
Until it's time to be opened. Election Administrator William Northrup explains, teams of two people first remove the secrecy sleeve. That's what contains the voted ballot that's inside the envelope. The envelopes are kept separate in a different pile. Then the ballots are removed from the secrecy sleeve. He says the process is anonymous from this point on.
At that point, once it's separated, we don't know who voted it. It gets put in another cage that is also locked, which also then goes to our scanning team who will scan it into the system.
Election officials say they have made changes to the process based on some issues they've had in the past. For example, they've updated the observer's handbook. Election observers now have to undergo training and take a tour of the election facility. That came after the 2021 election when workers reported election observers harassed them. Then in 2023, the election was challenged. There were concerns over an internal policy change involving a thumb drive to upload election results. This year, the city clerk says she's back to using a printer and scanning the results into the system.
We're not really worried about the extra step. We're worried about election security. And so so that was a concern. And so we've just gone back to the printer.
Election officials say they've tried to make the process as transparent as possible.
The one thing I like to emphasize is to come down to the election center and just see the process, see how it works.
They say the public is welcome to come and observe at any time. Lauren Maxwell, Alaska's news source.
A crash along the Parks Highway is under investigation this morning. One person is dead and two others hurt after Wasilla police say a suspected drunk driver caused a crash that closed the highway for hours Wednesday morning.
The three-car crash happened when the suspect crossed the center line driving into the southbound lane. Police say while alcohol was a factor, the suspect is not in custody due to the severity of their injuries. The state's four-year transportation improvement plan now has federal approval. It represents a substantial investment of more than $5 billion injected into transportation infrastructure across Alaska.
That money is set to go toward upgrades to Alaska's highways, bridges, ferries, transit systems, bike lanes, and safety improvements. DOT Commissioner Ryan Anderson says the funding will help initiatives proceed seamlessly during the upcoming construction season. Turning now to Capitol coverage, the House Education Committee discussed several critical aspects of a possible replacement education package. House Bill 392 targets issues like charter schools, transportation, and the base student allocation.
The proposed package includes a substantial increase of $680 to the BSA, raising it from $5,960 to $6,640. Sponsors pointing in part to inflation to say the increase is justified. Others aren't convinced an increased BSA is the answer. House Bill 264 is back in the hands of the Rules Committee this morning.
This after Anchorage Representative Andrew Gray's handwritten amendment to Homer Representative Sarah Vance's bill passed Friday. Vance wants some state employees who work on child sex abuse cases to receive training she feels will better support the victims.
Gray argued the age of consent also needed to change to 18. He says 16 and 17-year-old sex abuse victims should not be treated the same as adults and wants to stop older men in positions of power from trying to have relationships with 16 and 17-year-olds. Some lawmakers are now concerned about the unintended consequences of the change.
The real problem is that we need to carry forward the other language on position of authority, because that's really what we were trying to say. We weren't surely trying to say that when 18-year-old Billy is intimate with 17-year-old Susie, that should be a felony. That is not, that's sort of silly, as for obvious reasons. So we need to fix this.
I'm going to admit I was frustrated because I'm simply wanting to help save our children from exploitation. And this bill would help be able to create a standard to do that so that we can save more kids from trafficking. And this just slows that process down from further achieving that goal. But I have hope that the legislature will come together and be able to do what we can to help protect children.
Other discussions, including the debate over the PFD, will continue today in Juneau.
And you can stay on top of all of our Capitol coverage at alaskasnewssource.com or on our free app.
After the break, more fallout from the recurring safety concerns at Boeing.
We have an exclusive interview with the family of the man who originally blew the whistle at Boeing. Hear what they say made him take his own life.
Some drizzly activity and flurries this morning. We quickly dry out with some sunshine building into the afternoon hours. I'll have more details on that. But first, sunrise, 7:33, sunset, 8:37, 13 hours and 4 minutes of daylight.
We are 88 days into 2024, which means it is World Piano Day. That's because pianos have 88 keys. The day was created to promote the development of music and to share the joy of playing the piano.
So yeah, if you have an ear for music, experts say you can teach yourself how to play. If not, maybe just enjoy listening to others. So we know today a day to stay in maybe, or to go play outside, grab some ear pods. And I always wanted to learn how to play the piano.
I was going to ask if either of you knew how to play the piano.
I played the flute for a little bit.
I can rock the air guitar. That's about it.
There you go.
That's the extent of my musical talents when it comes to the instruments. Holding on to those temperatures this morning across South Central, sitting at 33 degrees in Anchorage, 29 in Fairbanks, where we continue to hold on to some of that light flurry activity. Notice out west from Nome, Bethel, Dillingham, where we are seeing somewhat of a ridge of high pressure that is leading to some clearer skies. That will stay with you through the day, but we are going to see those clouds quickly increase into the evening hours, which is going to lead to that increasing snowfall overnight on into Friday for southwest Alaska, where we do have a winter storm watch in effect. Now, as far as here across South Central, we do have some cloudy conditions to start off the morning with some areas of rain and some flurry activity that's occurring across Anchorage as well as through southwestern parts of the Susitna Valley. Once we dry out into the afternoon hours, we'll see some peaks of sunshine returning and those temperatures will climb into the upper 30s and the lower 40s. Now, what we're going to see through the remainder of the day, you can see much of mainland Alaska sitting on the quiet side for the day. We're going to continue to hold on to that for the rest of your Thursday, but what we're watching is this system down south of really southwest of ADAC. This is our weekend storm. Now, for snow or for southwest, we're talking about widespread snow and some gusty winds. And then for south central, we're going to see a rain snow mix as we welcome in the weekend, as well as out towards southeast. Some widespread rain can be expected, as well as some gusty winds that's going to build back in across the state as we welcome in the start of your Easter weekend. So there's the system we're watching, already bringing areas of wintry mix and gusty conditions out towards the Aleutian Islands. As that continues to build to the northeast, you can see increasing clouds can be expected later this afternoon out towards southwest Alaska, with snow beginning to arrive overnight. We're talking about 4 to 6 inches of accumulation with gusts up to 40 miles per hour. And then as that continues to build eastward here across South Central, we are going to see some coastal rain and wintry mix as we welcome in our Friday afternoon and evening hours, and that will continue to build inland as we welcome in the weekend. Looking likely that we're going to see a rain snow mix with this system and not all rain as we were expecting to see earlier in the week. So a changing weather pattern staying with us. In fact, what we're going to be watching is that rain mix as we welcome in our Friday evening on into the first part of the weekend. And then beyond Easter, we're going to see some snow in the forecast, and that does look likely to stay with us for a good portion of next week. Now, I want to bring your attention to the amount of snow we've seen so far this season, 123.4 inches. Still the second snowiest July 1st through March 22nd or 27th on record, and normal season to date is 72.4 inches. We typically end the year with an average snowfall of 77.9 inches of snowfall. So we're at that time of the year where it's going to get harder and harder to really see some significant accumulation. But we do have that snow in the forecast as we welcome in the weekend and next week. Temperatures once again today warming into the 30s and the 40s. We got some sunshine into Prince William Sound, warming into the upper 30s and lower 40s into the valley as well. So pretty much near identical when it comes to those temperatures that we saw yesterday. That 7-day forecast showing we're dry Friday with some cloud coverage. There's that wintry mix building in for the weekend. Not all day expected for your Easter. In fact, we'll see drier second half of the day with a high of 41.
All right. Thanks, Aaron, for the update. We're hearing for the first time from the family of a former Boeing manager who became a whistleblower. John Barnett died earlier this month, and his family blames Boeing.
It happened just before he was to testify in a lawsuit against the airline manufacturer about accusations of repeatedly ignoring safety issues, issues that led to that mid-flight blowout of an Alaska Airlines door. Mark Strassman spoke exclusively with his mother and brother.
I think he thought of himself as trying to do the right thing. Mm-hmm.
Vicki Stokes' son, John Barnett, worked at Boeing for 32 years, the last seven as a quality manager at the South Carolina factory that builds the 787 Dreamliner.
How did he tell you he was being treated?
He was, like, embarrassed at meetings. He would be called out.
Not the type with back down?
No, sir.
In a whistleblower lawsuit, Barnett alleged a litany of safety concerns. Stray titanium shavings falling into electrical wiring, defective oxygen tanks, and managers urging him to cut corners. In this 2022 Netflix documentary, Barnett claimed his managers retaliated against him for speaking up.
Boeing quit listening to their employees. So every time I'd raise my hand and say, hey, we got a problem here, they would attack the messenger and ignore the message.
In this hotel parking lot, Barnett was found dead from a gunshot wound in his car on March 9th. While police are still investigating, the coroner says it appears to be a suicide.
Do you blame Boeing?
I think if this hadn't gone on so long, I'd still have my son. My sons would still have their brother, and we wouldn't be sitting here. So in that respect, I do.
Barnett's death occurred as depositions continue and as Boeing grapples with weeks of headlines about its safety culture, specifically repeated problems with its 737 MAX planes, including a mid-flight blowout of an Alaska Airlines door. Barnett worked on a different plane, but raised similar concerns.
He wasn't trying to hurt Boeing, he was trying to save Boeing. He saw this coming and he said at some point, you know, this is all going to come down on Boeing.
In the middle of Boeing's reputational crisis, Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun announced he's stepping down. In a statement today, Boeing said, "We're saddened by Mr. Barnett's passing, and our thoughts are with his family and friends." I asked Rodney Barnett about his brother's legacy.
That's all he wanted. That's all he wanted, just the safety of the public.
He thought that was at stake.
That he knew that was at stake, and that's what he was concentrating on.
Barnett's family is trying to carry on his whistleblower lawsuit against Boeing. After 7 years of litigation, it's scheduled for trial this September. Mark Strassman, CBS News, Charleston, South Carolina.
Boeing's CEO says he'll leave the company by the end of the year.
He's just one of several other high-profile resignations at Boeing as stocks are down 25% this year.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Click subscribe so you can get the latest podcasts from Alaska's news source automatically and stay up to date with breaking news and in-depth reporting available for free 24/7 with the Alaska's news source app.